This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. Episode 41. I always have to hit record and then move very quickly back to my microphone.
Because we don't edit any of this, and therefore it has to be in real time all the time.
That's actually not why. It's because we've been working off of what I can only describe as a 1850s children's desk for the past year.
Yeah.
And you refuse. You keep saying, we're going to get a new desk. We're going to get a new desk.
I haven't done it.
And then
there is no urgency.
No, it is neither. It's important to me. And it's urgent to me. And for you, it is.
I
not
am
even close.
A person problem. Creating a system problem.
I think that
refusing.
Should just be the theme of the podcast. Like it's 41 episodes where it's like one of those cool movies where it's like a subplot, and the subplot, which is in your face, is just that your person problem, and I'm just living stuck
in the systems I'm creating.
And I'm just throwing my hands up like, well, this is what it is, I guess.
This desk, by the way, I got from a Goodwill while I was in college for $25, I believe. So it's moved 10 times.
And let me just tell you, it looks like it. It looks like a Goodwill desk from 20 years ago that costs $25.
Yeah.
So?
Well.
We're here.
Well, here we are.
This is a continuation of sorts.
Yeah.
From episode 40.
Yep.
Where you told such an eloquent and well thought out story. I mean, wow. There was a roller coaster of emotions, but we left with not so much a cliffhanger, but just more to do.
Yeah. Yeah, because the part we didn't really get to talk about so if you didn't listen to the last episode, what we were talking about is the different viewpoints that you can have in terms of solution sets when you have a specific scenario. And the specific scenario we chose was seeing an employee jump from the top of a 40-foot tank to another 40-foot tank, which was about 3 feet away from each other, and then deciding how you would respond to that, right? And the various levels and different ways of responding to that. And we went all the way through up into kind of what we would suggest would be the hop viewpoint of making the way that the employee is naturally trying to solve the problem the actual way, which rather than jumping from tank to tank, actually having a catwalk go from tank to tank. And then we talked a little bit about how organizations are pretty good at putting in those types of solutions if something tragic has happened, meaning if somebody has fallen, lost their life, jumping from tank to tank, then that seems like a really well thought out solution set and people will put it in place. But it's very, very hard to do that on the proactive side, meaning if you're just seeing the person jump, it feels as though there are alternative solutions that would take less time, less money. And when we are resource strapped, not just financially, but time-wise, doing something as seemingly extravagant as putting in a catwalk just because somebody, quote unquote, doesn't follow the rules and is putting their life at risk, the logic behind that starts to feel fuzzy for a lot of people. And what hop is helping that logic feel less fuzzy, helping recognize that the ingredients for that really bad day to happen, they're there already, they are happening, and it is just a matter of time before bad things come together unless we make some sort of design or process change. Because if it makes sense for one person to take that leap, probability is quite high that other people, given the same environment and information down the line, are going to do the exact same thing.
And we feel like In the story, I mean, and to your point, it is possible for leadership to get there, at least with less resistance, after an incident.
Correct, yeah.
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they revert back to, well, they shouldn't have been doing this in the first place. We need to remind everybody.
Right, and sort of make this event sort of the reason why you would follow the rules.
We're going to tell the story.
To tell the story of the event.
And remind everyone why we have the regulations or rules and policies in place.
Yeah.
Let's follow them, make sure this doesn't happen again. However, there's still a pretty good group of leaders that would say, well, maybe we shouldn't be doing it this way. Let's make a change.
Yeah.
But that is both on the reactionary side.
Correct.
And we are trying to focus way more
on the proactive side.
Proactive side.
Because the information, right? The information is out there, meaning the things that aren't working well in design, the places where people feel as though they have to change how a process is running, all of that information is there for the gathering if we want to gather it. But then there's a really big difference between wanting to gather it and then doing something with the information, right? So you can gather it and then still look at it and say, yeah, but I'm not going to put in the time and energy and resourcing to make this change, because it still feels very simple on the surface of you climb up the ladder, you climb down the ladder, you go to the next tank, you climb up the ladder, you climb down the ladder, and that is a requirement for your job and you're going to do it. That feels as though it is a very viable solution for most people. And HOP is pushing ourselves to no longer feel as though that's a viable solution, because we know that it isn't over a period of time, right? You end up having folks do the same thing that others have done in the past, because the design itself, something about the process isn't making sense.
But maybe we should talk about one thing.
Yes.
If we commit as a group, as a team, as an organization to be proactive, it's not just like a easy change.
No.
What we have to admit to ourselves is that there are hundreds of 3-foot gaps between tanks within an organization.
Yeah.
And that...
As an analogy, right? Like not just... Or there are actually hundreds of...
It depends. I don't know how many...
Like how many tanks?
You might have a lot of tanks. Maybe there's hundreds. Metaphorical 3-foot gaps. Maybe literal. But there's...
Maybe thousands. I mean, maybe thousands. Maybe hundreds of thousands. Yes.
And it's so much easier to just put that in a box in the corner and not open it.
Yes.
But once you open it, you're basically saying to yourself, I'm going to be tired for the rest of my career, because I am aware that every potential, a lot of the potential serious injuries, the variables are out there now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like a good Batman movie. I can't rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why there's a few things that become really important in being able to live with this mindset. The first is that you do need prioritization. And the reason that this space talks about fatalities and serious injuries and potential serious injuries is in order to help with some of that thought process of prioritization, right? Proactively, if we have to make a bunch of changes to things, we absolutely want to be able to focus on the things that are going to seriously injure someone, kill someone, or if we're outside of the safety space, something that's going to bankrupt the company, right? Something that is serious enough that the consequence is high enough that we're saying as an organization, we don't want to accept this as being a consequence. And so that is therefore a line in the sand of where to focus our energy and our efforts. So that's one piece of like, well, how do we even do this? Well, we focus on the things that have the potential for catastrophic failure, which in this case, this example, it is one of those places.
It's the ultimate.
Right. And then the other piece that is really, really, really important that we can do well is defining problems. Because there are many different ways to address the problems if we are able to define them with a group of people in the same way. Meaning if we all are seeing the problem similarly, it opens up the doors to a lot of different solutions. And that actually helps even in this example of there's this weird interim time. So imagine that you are in an organization in which you do get the buy-in. You get the buy-in from whoever has the resourcing, or you maybe yourself personally can pull the resourcing to put in this catwalk, right? And you've decided that this is the solution set to put in place. And then you look at timing and you look at prioritization and all of the real business constraints that exist. And best case scenario, it's going to take a year to put this in. And we can say all we want, well, you have to have urgency, you have to make change, you have to have urgency. But if you learn a lot, you can find hundreds, if not thousands of things that probably need some amount of attention, and you physically can't do them all at once. You don't have the resourcing to do them all at once. And from a business perspective, it's really hard to get everyone looking at it as having a return on investment in the way that you might be picturing it, or, you know, people in this space might picture it. So these are realities. These aren't things that are pretend or that we can wish away or that, you know, theoretically doesn't exist in an organization. They do. They exist. So what do you do?
I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we get heard when we go into an organization that, like, something happens and then you wave your magic money wand and you make the solution. Like, no, this is actually probably more realistic to what happens everywhere we go.
Sure.
Something happens. If we get to a level as an organization where we're like, yes, we need to create actual system change.
Yep.
There's still a lag period between when that's done.
Correct.
So this is probably 99 times out of 100 that we have an incident like this. We need to make a systematic change, that there's a gap in time period that is months, if not years.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially for big changes, right? And changes that require structural change or a lot of financial backing. And so going back to being able to define what the problem is actually allows us then to not only brainstorm alternative solutions, but also interim solutions. And what's really important about brainstorming these solutions is that you don't do it in isolation. If you are somebody who's managing, or if you're not the end user, your mission isn't to go brainstorm a bunch of alternative solutions by yourself in an office somewhere. It's to bring the folks that are close to the work together, make sure that we actually did do all of the learning to understand what it actually takes to, in this example, take the samples from each of these four tanks, and then be able to define what the difficulties in that process are, right? And you can use a value stream map to do that. You can just use flip charts to talk through what the difficulties are. But each of those difficulties, you then can look at some amount of alternative options when your, you know, pie in the sky catwalk solution set is going to be, you know, X number of years off or X number of months away from the current time frame. So, I mean, being able to define, hey, it is really difficult for one person to take four of these samples going up and down a 40-foot ladder four times a day. That is a problem. It is a amount of energy that most people that were doing that work would say, yeah, it doesn't make sense for us to be doing it this way. Historically, the interim solution that we would use is something like, I'm really sorry, but you have to do it because there's no other option. All we're trying to do in this hop space is to take that off the table, to say, hey, that's actually not a way of solving the problem. Saying, do the same thing that we've already asked you to do, but you're currently not doing, and you've already told us doesn't make sense to do that anyway. All we want to do is remove that from the table.
Because some percentage of the time, I'll just say it.
Yeah.
We do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who has to go up there and take the test says, you know what? Okay. You're going to make a change. I can commit to, for a short period of time, doing this that way. And then the next thing happens that becomes a top priority and becomes urgent and important. And then the next thing and the next thing. And that person that was, you know, doing this for a short amount of time, that just feels like a good solution again. We haven't had any other incidents.
Yep.
We can just rely on this person doing it the way they want, they're told to. And then we won't have a problem in the future.
Right. So suddenly
with the best intention. We're not saying that anyone's being malicious and be like, I'll trick them.
Yeah, just it no longer is the priority. There's a bunch of other priorities that have happened. And so this end user who has said, I will in this short period of time, I'll use the ladder because we don't feel like there's any other option. And they do it for some period of time. And then a month goes by, and then 2 months goes by, and then 6 months, and then a year, and then 2 years. And eventually that interim go back to what you were doing doesn't work
anymore. And maybe someone leaves the organization and someone else comes in.
Right? So we want to take that, just go do it the way that you were historically told to do option off the table, and instead look at the problem fresh. Now, the problem still exists. The solution set that it feels like everyone really loves might not be here for a while. And so now your new mission is to work with the folks close to the work and say, what else can we do? What is another way of making doing this process with this current structural setup tolerable? Tolerable enough, logical enough, safe enough that we can continue to do it for, hey, let's say it's going to take us a year to put in this catwalk. What can we do sustainably for a year together? And this is where people are like, well, what is the answer? And that, well, I don't know, because I'm not the end user. I do know that those conversations are extremely productive and people have great ideas of what to do. And we can throw out some options that maybe somebody would come up with. But until you have that discussion with folks who actually have to do the job, you can't guess as to what their suggestion would be. I mean, it can be anything from, hey, do you think we could have 4 people take the sample rather than just 1 person? So everyone's just climbing up 1 tank, right? It could be, hey, is it possible to talk to the QA folks because we haven't seen a change in these tank numbers in 5 years? Can we look at whether or not taking it 4 times a day is still part of the requirement necessary, something that's been put in, you know, to solve a different problem that is maybe not a problem anymore? Can we relook at the original intent as to why we started doing this?
Which is, we could just unpack that forever.
Forever.
The amount of times that I've been in a room and someone's like, well, yeah, that policy came from this one time, this one thing happened.
And it's never happening, right?
That policy for that one thing came from this one time, one thing happened.
Right.
And no one knows where the original one came from, but we're going to keep doing it forever.
But we're going to keep doing it for forever because we have an issue
with the number. And it's like, oh, yes. Okay.
And we get into this weird correlation causation scenario, right? So we can go back and look at the original requirement for why we're doing it to begin with. You know, we can erect some, I don't know, temporary type scaffolding that people can use. There's so many different ways that maybe there's a way to take the sample from a different port, right? I don't know because I'm not there and I don't work with the equipment every day. But what I do know is that when you get some folks together that do know the equipment and are the end users, right? So that can be different people. They're not all the same people, but we're all also committed to saying that we need to be able to solve the problem. When you have those ingredients together, the number of options that people come up with is quite high. Sometimes people crowdsource solution sets in their own location with their own service teams. And you describe the problem, take pictures of the problem, take video of the problem, and you open it up to a bunch of people to come up with ideas on how to address it. I think that being able to brainstorm around a common problem statement is something that when you do it as a group of people, that pressure of how do we solve everything? How do we prioritize all of it? We don't have money for all of it. It's a tiny bit of a relief valve, because what it means is that the most expensive, seemingly silver bullet solution that we come up with first that might take forever to do, it's not the only way to solve a problem.
So just quick note, silver bullets, great for werewolves, not good for complexity science. Just anyone who's listening that also is a monster hunter would know that. Okay, keep going.
And then you also, by having this conversation with the folks that are the end users, you also get the buy-in of the end user being part of the solution, right? Which goes to all of the conversation that we've had about accountability in the past of what does real accountability mean? It's taking ownership. In order to take ownership, you have to feel like you have some amount of agency. So we're looking at the process. It doesn't work as designed currently. The rules put in place to try to govern that process don't work for the end user well. That's our problem. Let's work together to come up with some ways of addressing it. We can have a big expensive solution, sure, but we're also going to have that middle time before even that big expensive solution may or may not come into fruition. So let's work together to come up with a bunch of other ways to try to address it and then try them out. Try it out. Is it tolerable? Let's try it out with 4 people and then, you know, tell us in a week, is that tolerable? Is that something that we think we could sustain for 2 years? And in doing that and having the conversations, when people do get to the edge of their ability to do something, right, where they're like, this is not making sense. I can't believe they haven't put in that solution set. This is not making sense. People are more than willing to then have more conversation and bring that proactively rather than, at least in my world historically, start leaping from tank to tank and not tell anybody, right? That's the other option, is that people just hide, right? They try to hide what they end up trying to solve it their own way. So yeah, that's that middle time period.
I think it's something is never thinking about the, you know, something highly urgent, highly important. Mm. It's never more true than post-incident. And the solutions that we put in place after learning from those doing the work and working with them to figure out the solution can take some time. Mm-hmm. So what this is really what gets us from post learning mm-hmm. to our ultimate solution. What yeah. are we doing in the meantime? That's not just, hey, please
wait. Yeah.
And do what you need to do, what we tell you to do, because this is going to be true every time. It only will go down in urgency because there's always more to do and yeah. it doesn't stop. So making sure we have a good plan in between. You mentioned people are probably, learning information and then scrolling themselves away as a leader, trying to figure out the best solution. If you're doing that right now, which based on our audience, someone could be doing that right now. Stop.
Like right at this moment,
yeah, like
they're
right now,
they're listening to this and then also writing something down as a solution for something else.
To you. Stop it. Stop it.
I've never seen you be so forceful.
I'm upset. Imagine this. How I got upset. I'm angry. This is what I sound like. Okay. So that yeah. wraps it up. I do want to call it one other thing.
Yes.
Because that was you nailed the ending. You smooth landing. He says, unsure of himself and her. We got a couple of requests for episodes.
Yeah.
We had some ideas come in. We are going to do them. So correct. If you sent it in and you made it this far, hopefully you did, we got them and we are going to act on them.
Yes.
So thank you for sending them. Keep sending them. We love it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you for episode 42.
All right. Well, that's it.
Yep. Another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's hoppodcast.com.
It's still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.